Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Because I had a story about this end to what they're calling Title 42, and David did a great job of just explaining this to those of us who don't pay close attention to these matters, which is probably most people, and to those people who do pay attention to it, they're listening to the mainstream media sources. Of course, they're not getting the full information, but to just summarize it, the Title 42 thing allowed them to essentially turn away people due to COVID. And that's going to be coming to a close, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be open season for people crossing the border. It'd be nice if that's what it meant, but no, that's not what it means. It just means it's going to go back to the crappy situation that it was before Title 42, which is this yeah. Title 8, all of the stupid nonsense immigration rules that are resulting in families being torn apart and lives being destroyed. And to top that off, Biden's going to make it worse by adding 1,500 military troops to the border, so militarizing the border more so than it already was with the Border Patrol, and they want to pass a new administrative rule that says basically unless you are, if you are seeking asylum, which for listeners that don't know, asylum seekers are people who are being persecuted, usually wrongfully so, in their home countries. They're trying to get to a different place where they can have some sort of protection.
Not have to look over their shoulders from their El Presidente trying to have them killed or whatever.
Right. So these are the kind of people. And now the U.S. government, the Biden administration is proposing that those people, well, if you don't come at the exact right location, if you just don't come to the appropriate border crossing locations, if you don't use the app that we've created for this procedure, which Hathaway pointed out, there's like an 8-year waiting period.
I'm surprised the app even works. It's created by the government,
crap,
right?
Yes, it's probably garbage. But you know, presuming you don't know about any of these things, and you're just like, I got to get there. They're trying to kill me. And you just cross the border, they're going to just say, well, you can't come in. We're turning you back around to send you to your death because you didn't get the app on your smartphone.
Yeah, and all of this is assuming that they're going to let Title 42 lapse anyway.
Sounds like it's coming to a close.
I'm not convinced.
On May 11th.
I'm not convinced. My gut tells me they'll
extension.
Find some way to extend it. I could be wrong, and we didn't get a chance to ask him, and he certainly knows way more about the situation than I do.
Well, he did say there were many extensions, and he seems to think it's coming to an end. But who knows? There may be another last minute. Either way, it's not going to be open season on immigration.
Sadly.
And, in fact, Biden is going to crack down even harder, it sounds like, than they already have been, which is to say Biden has already been continuing all the Trump era crackdowns and separating families and the whole thing. So we continue here with Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hello.
Sarah.
Did you know that we had about like 400 people that had 3 speeding camera tickets, and then 730 people that have 2 speeding camera tickets, and they tore it all up, throw it in the garbage?
Well, good for them.
Well,
why would I know that?
Well, it was announced on the news, and they're going to really
in New Mexico?
Their cars. They're going to boot their tires because the parking people, they're going to get after them. I mean, that's amazing for Albuquerque because last time they just threw it all in the garbage, the red light camera tickets, and then the city paid for the people that didn't pay because they still owed red flags. This time they're going to tow their cars. I'm just amazed.
Okay, and does it make you feel warm inside and fuzzy that these people are going to have their car stolen from them?
Well, yes, because their behavior has been killing people. They've been T-boning.
Sarah, a parked car does not kill anyone.
Well, I think she said speeding tickets, but were killing people, they would be charged with vehicular manslaughter, not speeding. Okay, so you're talking about 700 speeding tickets, not 700 vehicular manslaughterers. Okay? It's a big difference.
Well, you know, a lot of the people have been getting killed because they're speeding. Been getting killed. And that's why they're going to boot their tires. It's like I've seen those DWIs.
No, they're going to boot their tires because they want money. It's not because they think that they're going to save somebody's life.
Yeah, speeding is legal if you pay a fine.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it's not legal, but you're not going to... If you pay the fine, you never experience any of the worst punishments for it, right?
It's legal for a price, right?
If you're rich enough, you can speed as much as you want.
So how's that going to help, Sarah? It's only going to penalize poor people who can't pay the fine.
She doesn't care about poor people.
You're a terrible communist.
Well, you know, you could work it off. But they don't even want to do that.
How do you do that? How do you work it off? What's the pay, per day?
You got to work, 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You say, I don't have money, I'm broke. You know, I work it off. I think you work, 3 days doing some community service.
Mm. So you have to be a slave.
Well, you know, you got to take accountability for your running red lights and putting other people's life in jeopardy. You know?
Just running a red light doesn't necessarily put other people's lives in jeopardy. You understand that, right?
Well, you could run a red light 100 times, and it's the 101 time that you're going to kill somebody. You know what I mean?
That's crazy. I suspect the rate of people dying as a result of someone running a red light is fewer than 1 in 10,000. People run red lights all the time, Sarah, and there's almost never a fatality as a result of it.
Thank you for the call tonight, Sarah. I appreciate it. Let's continue here. Ricky is on the line in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, brother. And sister, how are you? Good evening.
What's on your mind tonight?
Well, this is an oldie but a goodie. I talked to you about this at least 6 years ago, and that's open borders. And it seems like it's a topic again. You know,
yes, it's an evergreen topic out there because
it seems to be.
Yeah, there's always people who want to make a better life for themselves, and there's always a group of people that wants to prevent them from doing so.
Well, I got a little bit different take on it, and you know, it's the same as it was years ago, but I think it takes an opportunity.
I don't know what that take was, and nor do any of our listeners that are new to the show.
I'll give it to you. You know, I am for open borders, but I have a little bit different take on it. Now, asylum seekers, now that's a given. That's obvious. But now let's talk about other people, just regular people. And for me, I don't, for the life of me, understand why people have a problem with this. You know, for example, you come in from another, say it's Mexico, right? You come in, you go to work. Okay. Now say, for example, you get a job. Okay. You apply for citizenship. Now that needs to be completely revamped and streamlined. That's another story, but now you're working. It's real simple. You're working. You're doing the thing. You're trying to be a citizen. And while you're here, you just don't have any government assistance, like at a state level or federal level, but you pay taxes, no problem. Then eventually you become a citizen. That's it. That's the end of the story. I see no issue with that.
Well, the issue with it is also really simple. The people who are against it are racist. It's really that simple.
Well, that's why I'm a Confederate Democrat and I'm not, you know, a Republican, you know?
Right. Yeah, I didn't mean to suggest that you were, but as far as
that's the reason that people are
against immigration.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if that's true. Okay, hold on. I just want to say this because there are people who are actually let's take Mexicans for example. There are Mexicans who have moved here who are against unrestricted immigration because, for instance, they had to go through the hoops, so therefore everybody else has to go through the hoops.
True.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be quote-unquote fair.
True, but I don't know how to address that particular problem.
That's total BS is what it is.
But those people are real.
Yeah, and they're not racist. You're right.
Right. They're not doing it because they're racist. They're just, that's the cycle of abuse. Those people are abuse victims who think that it's okay because they were abused, therefore everyone else should be abused. So those people exist as well. And I don't know. I think it's just easy to say someone's a racist if they don't support open immigration. And I'm hesitant to do that because I don't want to jump to that conclusion. I think that there are people who have legitimately been brainwashed into believing that if it's open for people to just come into a free country and live their lives, that there's all these criminals. There's all these drug dealers and murderers and, you know, rapists that are going to come across the border and just start murdering and raping. And it's easy to say that's because they're racist, but it could just be because they are living in a state of fear.
Yeah, and to be more accurate, I would say, you know, the ones who trot that Republican line, there is often racism lying at the heart of what they're saying, and they're just trying to find better terms
could
to
be.
Mask it.
Could
but
be.
That isn't universally true. You're absolutely right.
Oh, if I may, Brother Ian, another issue that goes along with this, and I think this is kind of a talking point. Like I said, though, I do think, you know, filing for citizenship must be a must at the start. But you work and all that. But here's the thing. What people look at, and I've heard this from people, this is especially the case in Arizona, because Arizona has a lot of people that work there that are not, you know, mostly Mexican or Spanish people. But what the attitude is to some of the people in other parts of the country is, oh, but you're paying taxes. Like I said, they feel like somehow you're taking money away from other workers and things like that. You got to be kidding me, Brother Ian.
Wait, you, what are you saying? You're saying that people
are... No, I talked to people in Arizona. I know. Because what they have, this was years ago, and they have they welcome these people, and they pay taxes. And in other parts of the country, and I heard it around with other people, the way they look at it is it's like, and even some people in Arizona that are not from Arizona, it's like by these people working there, it's somehow taking away from them as people working and things like that.
I think what you're trying to say is, and it's you're not saying it very clearly, I think what you're trying to say, Ricky, is that some people believe wrongfully that immigrants are a drain on taxes when, in fact, they are paying taxes and in many cases do not actually collect the quote-unquote benefits that they could receive from paying those taxes. People don't get
that.
And
this is where I think the brainwashing part comes in along with that. I think that's part of the cause of that crap.
Thank you for the call tonight, Ricky. I appreciate it. I got to say, I agree with most of what he said, although I don't think there should be any kind of citizenship nonsense, I think.
No, just let people come here.
In a free country, you just let people come in. If there's somewhere that wants to hire them, they're good. If there's somewhere that wants to put them up for, you know, let them sleep, then that's great, too. All set.
It's worked just fine for the 50 states. You know, just allowing people to travel from one to the other. It's never caused any issues. It's not going to cause any issues if we expand that a little bit more.
It's what actually caused the greatest increase in economic wealth. Yep. To the United States is the fact that people who were in search of a better life were able to come here with virtually no infringement.
Yep.
Right? They were able to just come here, escape tyranny, and start their own business. And that's what made America, you want to say what made America great? Immigration made America great. Unrestricted immigration brought so much wealth, so much creativity, so many entrepreneurs to this economy. And now they're trying to strangle that. We continue here. We have an anonymous caller. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live.
Simple question for you. Is digital anarchy a rat trap?
What does that even mean? He just hung up the phone.
I don't know.
Do I put digital anarchy?
I don't know what that means.
I presume digital anarchy would be the internet? I mean... I think this is the same guy. He's called in with like these quick hits.
Was that the guy who like tried to make a joke a few weeks ago?
Sometimes
like,
they don't make much sense. He might be a little schizo. I'm not sure. It may be Dingo Dare who kind of comes in and out of our chat rooms and makes really strange statements on occasion.
You think that could have been Dingo Dare? I don't remember the sound of his voice, but
yeah, they're saying in the chat room that was him.
Well, they don't know. Let's see, though. Digital anarchy, see, I don't know what that means, so I can't answer the question.
Yeah.
And by rat trap, I don't know, man.
I mean,
maybe?
It certainly is addictive. I mean, the internet is an addictive thing for a lot of people. There's a lot of dopamine hits that people are getting from social media and things like that. And it could be a trap in that way. It could
but
be
that would make it a honeypot.
A time sink. you know, a rat trap suggests that someone set it up purposefully that way. And certainly they've done studies to show that people are getting hooked on the dopamine hits. Jay Noon loves to, just one of his favorite topics to talk about these days on Thursday nights, is that you want to keep your kids off of these devices until they're old enough to, you know, be able to make choices more aptly about how to spend their time and not get hooked on the, you know, these dopamine cycles that they have. And, you know, I'll admit, it is absolutely addicting. I've been addicted to Facebook in the past. I find Twitter to be very, very addicting these days. I justify it to myself, like a lot of people justify their addictions. Yeah. I justify it that I get good information on Twitter, and I still think that is true. Toward the end of my time with Facebook, I was not finding good information there. It was just all people arguing about stupid crap.
That's been my experience with Twitter lately. Yeah, you know, I've been using Twitter more and more because I've just completely burned out on Facebook. It's a complete waste of time.
Yeah.
But Twitter, it's just filled with people arguing about trans people and drag queens. That's my entire feed, and it's so exhausting.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people are talking about other stuff, but for whatever reason, Twitter has decided that's all I care about,
see.
And that's all I want to see. And it's like, I don't care at all. I like it because it's you and Bonnie usually. Well, not usually, but like when it's you and Bonnie, I like it and I find it amusing. But otherwise, it's that I don't care what these other... I don't care. I've unfollowed Tim Pool. I unfollowed him weeks ago, months ago.
Tim Pool.
And yet, Twitter still throws his drag queen nonsense at me. Like, I'm not going to block the guy because I don't hate him that much. But like, Twitter, I don't know how else to make it clear to them that I don't care about this subject. But they are convinced that I do.
Yeah,
it's exhausting.
I initially, when Elon Musk took over and he introduced the $8 a month Twitter Blue package where you get the little check mark or whatever, I did go ahead and sign up for that just because I liked kind of the general direction that he was taking things at Twitter. Of course, he's still banning people for saying things that are, you know, whatever it is that Elon Musk doesn't like. So he doesn't want to let Alex Jones back on the platform, and other people have been banned for different things. And so, I mean, it's certainly not the free speech mecca or whatever that he wanted to say that it was. He claims he's a free speech absolutist. Obviously, that's not true.
Right.
And, you know, the whole Twitter Blue thing, it would be one thing if it actually got rid of the advertisements, but it doesn't even do that. So, and to be fair, they don't say that it does. He claims it'll reduce the ads, but it's really hard to tell whether they've been reduced or not because they're still present.
Like, streaming services managed to have a subscription fee that's, you know, usually competitive at $8 a month, and they managed to remove the ads entirely.
Yeah.
So what? Why does Twitter need the ad revenue and the subscription costs, but Netflix and Hulu don't?
Yeah. So that's always kind of rubbed me the wrong way about it. And then further, you just don't get that much for the $8 a month. I mean, the claim was that they were going to start prioritizing people with the check marks. I never saw any evidence that was the case. Of course, there's all these things they say they're going to do, which they haven't actually done. So
they fired all of their competent programmers, right?
I don't know if that's true. I mean, they've certainly made some changes. They did implement a subscription option to Twitter for those people that want to, you know, I think they want to compete with like Substack or something like that, or Locals. So, I mean, I'm glad to see things going in a different direction. I think overall the site is better than it was 7 months ago or whatever, 10 months ago.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But it's just not really worth paying for. And the other thing was, I went and I changed my user profile photograph because I like using the AI generated photos I've been making.
Yeah.
And whenever you change your photograph, even though you're a paying subscriber, they take away your blue check mark until they can, quote, review your photo, and then they give it back to you, give you the check mark back. Well,
that's strange.
Been more than a week since I changed my photograph, and they still haven't given the approval on this simple change of a photograph. So it's like, you know, if I'm paying for service, I shouldn't have to wait a week for somebody to just say, oh, yeah, this isn't a porn pic or whatever.
Look, this isn't someone claiming to be Elon Musk or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Which I assume is the point. If you change your profile pic, they want to re-verify and make sure you're not, like, posting that you're Hillary Clinton
or
whatever.
But my name hasn't changed.
Right.
I didn't change my name and the profile pic. I just changed the profile pic. And it's like, how would they know what I look like anyway? It's just weird to me. And so
strange.
I just said, you know what? There's just not enough value here to me for $8 a month. I do like that you can
The thing I do like about it, I'll say this, I like that you can do longer posts if you have a paid account. I think that's kind of cool. But it's not something I really care that much about. And you can upload videos that are longer than 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
I noticed that Facebook tried something similar. They have Meta Verified now. Like, it's like, get Meta Verified and pay, you know, probably $8 a month or whatever to get a blue check mark on your Facebook or whatever. I don't know exactly what they give you.
Interesting.
But they saw Twitter doing this. Ooh.
Me too.
Yeah. And I don't think it went very well for Facebook or Meta or whatever they're calling themselves these days.
And I did hear something about them might be backing away from the whole metaverse thing. Did you see those headlines?
I have not, but I would not be surprised. It's long overdue. The metaverse was technology that obviously from the beginning people didn't want. That, you know, tech 3.0, web 3.0 guys wanted, but the average person very clearly didn't.
I don't think the average person has 3D glasses yet.
No, and I don't think they have any interest in it. It's technology that pops up every 5 to 10 years and it becomes really popular and everyone loves it and then it just sort of fades into obscurity again. And give it, you know, 10 or 15 more years, and it'll be back again. And people are like, oh, my God, this is great. This is the time. It's here. VR is finally here. And it will take off for, you know, a year or two, and then it will just fade off again. This has happened repeatedly my entire life. And every time, you got people like Mark Zuckerberg who are, like, preaching it. This is it. Now is the time to put on your VR headset and live in the Matrix, and it's just going to fade away again.
Let's go to the phones here. I got Major Payne on the line in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Major.
All right, as far as all this immigration business going on here, before I get to my point, I got a question I want to bounce off of both of you guys, because I have really no idea what either one of your churches stand for. But there is, would you or would you not disagree that our government is run by demons? I mean, there are demonic entities at the head of state.
Well, I mean, I don't particularly believe in demons, which is a specifically kind of Abrahamic religion or Christian or Muslim kind of belief system. But I certainly do believe that there are human beings who are psychopaths.
How about evil?
And are willing to commit evil acts against other human beings.
Yeah, I guess evil probably would have been a better word.
Mm-hmm.
But, so the bulk of South America is Catholic, especially the ones who are wanting to flee this tyranny and whatnot that they're under.
Yes, that's right.
And the last thing a demonic entity wants to see is an influx of Catholics.
I think I see where you're going, which is like they're trying to keep the Catholics out because they're demons. I don't agree.
Yeah, no, I don't either. Hang on, Major. I'll let you finish your thought on that coming up here in a moment. The number is 603-283-6160 because they're not just keeping Catholics out. They're keeping out people from China. They're keeping out people from, you know, Europe, people from Canada. They're keeping them out all over the place. It's just the people focused on the southern border. It's not to say that it's easy to get in anywhere else. It's not. More coming up.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of 3 major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. Writers are on strike, and that means you're going to miss new episodes of some of your favorite TV shows.
Late-night talk shows among the first to be impacted by the Writers Guild strike. Hosts Seth Meyers and Jimmy Fallon, however, both say they stand with the writers.
We have a lot of staff and crew that will be affected by this, you know, but, you know, they got to get a fair deal.
I also feel very strongly that what the writers are asking for is not unreasonable.
The last writer's strike back in 2007 lasted 100 days and cost the entertainment industry billions of dollars. I'm John Schaefer.
The U.S. Surgeon General is bringing attention to what's being called an epidemic of loneliness and isolation. Dr. Vivek Murthy released an advisory Tuesday saying a lack of connection in the U.S. is ramping up the chances for premature death for many Americans. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Features that we have for you. And there are a lot of them for free, including the social media platform that we have over at social.freetalklive.com. That is social.freetalklive.com. You can interact there with other Free Talk Live listeners. Another place you can do that is our chat server as well. Once again, that is chat.freetalklive.com to hit to get the instructions on how to connect to our chat server. We still have Major Payne on the line with us. You were trying to make a point, Major, and we ran up against the news break there. So what were you trying to say?
Well, I don't understand what Aria's question was about my statement previous.
I don't recall.
Yeah, you're going to have to ask.
I don't know, man.
It's been 4 minutes, right, man. So that's all gone.
We're talking about the South American population and how they're basically all Catholics.
Oh, that's right.
The ones that have been converted, so to speak.
Yeah, right? So your contention is that, you know, the politicians are demons and they're trying to keep the Catholics away because Catholics, I don't know, are religious and could exorcise them or otherwise chase away the demons, right?
Well, now it's not so much that. Of course, that does is definitely an influencing factor. Are you aware that there was 850,000 undocumented children that came across the border that just disappeared, probably to feed the pedophile factor of the elite?
I can't speak as to that, but that doesn't have anything to do with Catholics or demons.
Scary. It's scary.
No,
what's
that wouldn't
going
surprise
on in
me.
Backyard.
I think the point I was making before you went away was that it's about just fear, you know, keeping the people of the United States in fear of the other. There has to be a enemy. For some time, it was drug dealers in, you know, like the 80s and the 90s, and then it became terrorists in the aughts, and then it became people with COVID 3 years ago, and it's, of course, immigration has been in there as well. So immigrants are one of those other groups of the quote-unquote other that they can fearmonger about to get people to ignore the fact that the real enemy is the government. Is the, you know, the government thugs, whether the federal or the state level, they're the ones who are the threat. They're the ones who are hurting peaceful people. They're the ones putting peaceful people behind bars, as we talked with Mark Hopkins about in the first hour. But they want you to believe that it's the people who are just trying to come here, make, you know, what in reality is a better life for themselves, but they're dangerous and you should be afraid of them and give over more of your power and your authority to the people calling themselves the state so they can keep you safe from the dastardly immigrant hordes. And it's just nonsense.
Yeah, of course they want to play one side against the other. That's the whole game.
I don't know if demonic anything has to do with it. You know, if demons exist, sure, okay, then yeah, that's something demons would do. And certainly if Satan was, you know, evil, and I think there's a strong argument that Satan was actually the good guy in the biblical text, but whatever we want to call this personification of evil, I think the government is the closest thing.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Whatever it is.
I would say the government is the devil, and as much as anything is the devil. I think, you know, human beings have evil within them. Every human being has evil in them, and they have good in them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a battle that every single one of us is constantly fighting. Some of us have won that battle more than others, but some people succumb to it. And those people who succumb to it, they end up becoming politicians, police officers, whatever that allows them to, whatever allows them to use that evil over others. And because of that, this sort of coalescence where all of this evil is called the state, because that's what they all gravitate to, because that allows them to orchestrate and commit their acts of evil. And I don't think there is any...
And call them good.
Yes.
And fool people into believing they're doing something other than evil.
Well, that's what makes the evil so insidious, right? Yeah. And that's what makes Yahweh, the God of the Bible, so clever in what he did. And it's managed to completely invert the ideas of good and evil to where people can just commit all manner of horrific acts of evil and say it's for the greater good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they call Satan the Prince of Lies. And it's not for any, you know, an unknown reason.
Thank you, but
Satan never told any lies.
Thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. I want to go to Dodger on the line in Michigan. Dodger, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Well, it wasn't exactly a segue, but at either rate, while I'm on the air with you, Arya, I just want to let you know that a big injustice has been done to you, and you don't deserve what you are facing, and if there's any way that I could drop a few bucks in your commissary account or whatever. But that's not
Thank
the
you for the comment. I just want to say that we did talk to Chris Wade, who runs the Crypto6, thecrypto6.com website. Once that information is available, obviously it's not going to be until you check in, Arya, and then get processed. And processing usually takes some, I don't know how long it is in federal, but in, you know, like state prison, you're not going to have the commissary account day one. So eventually,
right,
when we get that information, it will be made available at thecrypto6.com. You'll be able to get the address to write to Arya. All that stuff will be there.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll also have it at ariadometso.com, because that seems like an easier way to do it.
Well, you and I share the non-aggression principle, which makes you closer to my family than a lot of my own family. So, at either rate, that's not the reason I called. Greetings to the major from the world's largest mitten, one of his stranger calls. But I wanted to talk about, especially in Latin America, how a lot of I was listening to a podcast earlier, and a lot of the politicians, well, politicians lie. As long as their mouth is moving, they're lying. But they essentially, and I realize this even in my own local everything, politicians seem to sound pretty libertarian when they're trying to get elected. And then all of a sudden they, I mean, I really think that libertarian ideas are popular. People just
I wish
want
I could agree with
alone.
You on that. I think there was a time at which I did agree, and I don't. I think COVID changed my mind about that.
Oh, I think it depends on how you define libertarianism, because, like, the majority of Americans don't vote, and that to me suggests libertarianism. Like they don't care enough to tell their they don't want to tell their neighbors what to do. They don't want to use the state against one another, but. They're
it
also
could suggest
not,
apathy.
I mean, is there a difference?
Yeah, a libertarian is someone who actually understands the non-aggression principle.
But if
and
they're going
applies
to,
it.
If they're not going to use force and violence against one another, do I care on a personal level whether it's because of adherence to this principle or whether it's because of apathy? To me, the result is the same.
Well, I can tell you, of the 12 people on my jury, not one of them seemed to be a libertarian. If indeed people
didn't
are,
they particularly like. Didn't they make it a point to screen out libertarians?
Well, I mean, they screened out crypto users for the most part.
Well,
but
I mean, well, the idea of being left alone, I think, is popular. And I don't know. Maybe I just have too much faith. I am trying to plan a trip to visit for ForkFest.
Well, okay, but before you go on into that, and that's a great idea, ForkFest is happening June 15th through the 18th, followed by the Porcupine Freedom Festival from the 19th through the 25th. But if somebody is apathetic, even if that apathy sort of defaults to libertarian in that they don't care what goes on, that's not the same thing as an actual libertarian who does care about the things that are going on around them. An apathetic person sees what's happening. If they hear anything, right, about what's happening at the border, for instance, an issue we've been discussing here tonight, and their answer is, I don't care about that, well, they could still be qualified as a libertarian because, as we've explained, the non-aggression principle doesn't require you to care. It is the lowest bar for human interactions with other humans, is to say, I will not support or advocate aggressive force to achieve my goals. But if you see other people being harmed and your response is, I don't care about that, you're not somebody that is, you know, one of my people, I guess is what I'm saying.
Oh, I totally get it. I mean, when... politics ever comes up with people that I know, and you know, I explain my politics is it's actually very anti-political, and they're like, huh? And I said, because I just live my life by one very simple principle. I mean, if I apply that to everything in my life, which I do, the non-aggression principle, I mean, it really solves every single problem out there. And I just, you know, for me, you know, as somebody that understands it and applies it to my daily life, and I think, you know, has a few brain cells rolling around up in my head, I just don't understand how people just don't get it.
How
really.
People don't get
the non-aggression principle. Yeah.
Well, they may get it, but they don't agree with it. Like, I used to date this chick who was a hard leftist, and she would tell you point blank, like, she was okay with using force and violence to achieve her goals. Mm-hmm. Like, she was just like, yeah, that's okay.
Yep, there are those people out there, and I unfortunately, I think there's a lot of them out there. I think that a chunk of the people who are in the apathy category, the people that just want to live their lives and, you know, presumably want to be left alone and they don't pay any attention to the world around them as far as politics or what's going on. I think a lot of those people are go-along-to-get-along types. I think that they don't have a principle
except themselves, right? Like, they just want to take care of their family. They just want to take care of themselves. They want to relax after work, etc. They have their goals for themselves, okay, and that's about it. And I think that if it comes down to it, they're going to go with whatever it is that they think is popular. So if they perceive amongst their group of friends that cracking down on immigration is popular because immigrants are dangerous and felons, and that's all that they hear about, if they hear anything at all, if all they hear about is immigrants are dangerous, immigrants are scary, then they're going to go along. They're going to go along with that viewpoint because they don't want to lose their friend group. They just want to go along to get along. They don't want to have a tough time. They don't want to make a stand for anything. We know by definition they don't want to stand for anything. So the good news about those people is if you plug those people into a society full of people who do understand the non-aggression principle, and we would like to make that society exist. It doesn't exist yet, but we'd like to have, I think, New Hampshire be that place where even if it's not the majority of society, it's a viewpoint that is reflected often enough to where the average person who may be apathetic normally might know a libertarian at work. They might know a libertarian at church. They might know more than one libertarian in their life. And they may hear the contrary viewpoints to the mainstream pro-government views, and they may be more likely to listen and maybe even go along to get along with liberty. I think that's the best that we can hope for those people. I don't think that they're going to ever be, you know, holding a sign with us on the side of the
NPCs.
Road.
NPCs. Essentially, NPCs. I mean,
that's a really kind of dismissive terminology.
Well, I don't mean it that way. They're people, and
people who have different priorities, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's all they are.
So I guess that would make me more of an activist because I guess that's the difference. You know, I want to be an activist.
Well, if you're planning a visit to New Hampshire, I would say that probably puts you in the category of, if not current activist, someone who's considering being an activist.
I want to be an activist. I mean, that's the whole reason why I want to move to New Hampshire.
There's no better plan, in my opinion, than that. And we'll look forward to seeing you when you get up here, Dodger. And thank you.
Absolutely. I look forward to meeting. I'm sorry, I won't get to meet you, Aria, but hopefully someday.
Aria is planning to attend Forkfest, so if you're going to make it up there
okay.
to Forkfest,
awesome.
You'll be meeting her likely there for the whole thing, I think, right?
Rock on.
I don't know yet,
okay.
But I will at
we'll
least
know more.
Be there. Yeah.
We'll know more as we get closer. Thank you, Dodger, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Let's go to Tim in Florida. Tim, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, I think I'm just going to stick to my comment on Sarah's topic just because I'm getting pretty close to the time here. And I maybe tomorrow night I'll call in about the border issue.
Okay.
Yeah, so she was talking about, I think she was talking about speeding cameras, and if you didn't have the money to pay the fine, that you could say, hey, I don't have the money, and you can do 4 hours labor.
She did say
that,
yeah.
As an Instacart driver, I mean, I'm not particularly the kind of person that tends to speed. I try to take my time more.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I will do what I would call strategic speeding.
Okay.
And strategic speeding is you're basically paying attention to your surroundings. Otherwise, you wouldn't be speeding. And it's better than erratic driving because you see people that, I mean, they could be driving slow 1 second and then cut you off fast the next second. And they're erratic drivers. And that's what's dangerous more than speeding. But
yeah, I see those all the time here, especially in Keene, because they're distracted. They're on their cell phone or whatever, so they'll slow down to like 10 miles per hour, and then they'll go, oh, crap, I'm driving very slowly, and they'll instantly speed up to 35. They're crazy. Well, they're not crazy, but they're reckless.
They're not paying attention.
No, they're not. They're distracted.
Yeah. Yep, that's true. I agree with you there, Tim.
I think the chance of possibly, and it's not even a certainty, you know, possibly getting caught speeding in New Mexico as some kind of delivery driver. And I got to stop dropping the name of the corporation I work for. I don't mean to do that. It's just a mistake. But anyway, I think somebody that's doing delivery driving in New Mexico would have an incentive to take the chance if they're inclined to speed anyway, because if they get caught, they can just work 4 hours and then they're off the hook.
Yeah, I don't know how many people even consider these things. I mean, when you're speeding, you just
the goal is to not get a ticket.
Yeah, you just want to go where you want to go, and you want to get there faster. I don't know how many people consider, well, if I speed, I will only have to do this voluntary service. And like, how many speeders actually think about what the legal consequences are? How many speeders? I mean, I guess if you're like a pro speeder, if like there's probably a category of speeder that does absolutely know that once they go past 10 miles an hour, the fine doubles or whatever, right? Like, so they know all the rules and the insides and outs. But I suspect the majority of people who speed, it's just their nature. I mean, who doesn't want to get somewhere quicker?
Yeah, but it's never worth being up someone's rear end.
No, that's true. There's definitely a safe way to speed, and then there's the reckless driving way of doing it. Thank you, Tim, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Let's talk to Saheed in Maryland. Saheed, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, I heard the comment about from Aria about Satan never lying.
Yes.
I just wanted to throw a little in there from an Islamic point of view. So. And there's, in the Quran, it mentions about, between Adam and Eve and the Satan. And the thing that he lied about there was that basically he said that the tree was a tree of immortality. And that it would, the only reason that God forbidden them from eating from it is that it'll turn them into angels or immortals. And that was like the big lie. And then after they ate from it, it revealed their bodies and their sins.
That's a very different take from what is said in Genesis. In Genesis, the serpent or Satan points out that, the reason God doesn't want you to eat this fruit is because you'll become as gods. You'll gain the knowledge of good and evil. Whereas God had threatened them and said, if you eat this, you will die. And they were presently immortal, at least according to my understanding of it. They were immortal at that point, and it was eating the tree that it did give them the knowledge of good and evil. But it also, quote, killed them by turning them mortal. Well, at least that's the apologetic way. Obviously, the way I look at it, Yahweh simply lied to them. They didn't know the good. They didn't know the difference between good and evil. These were not super intelligent beings who could understand the nuance when he said, "You're going to die if you eat this." They didn't understand that. Oh, we'll be capable of dying if we eat this. And Satan came along and said, "No, look, you won't die if you eat this. You'll simply gain the knowledge of good and evil." And as far as I can tell from the reading of Genesis, and I don't know what's in the Quran, so when I say that, I'm speaking very strictly of the Christian take on Genesis.
Was that story? That story was retold in the Quran, Saheed? It's been a decade since I've read it, so.
Yeah, multiple times. And it's pretty interesting. It's very interesting. And that's the big difference. And I love bringing it up because there's such a big difference between the biblical version and the Quran. But there's also a lot of parallels, obviously.
Your version at least makes more sense. I mean, in the reading of Genesis as it is in the Bible, the only rational conclusion is that Yahweh lied and the serpent told the truth.
Straight up. Yeah, and that's actually why I very much dislike that distortion. If it's, if there's one, obviously I believe in the Quran, so by what I believe, I don't see that distortion as kind of like very insidious, to the point of living forever and immortality versus dying. There was the case that in paradise it was supposed to be, everything. It never got too hot, never got too cold. It was pretty much perfect temperature, plenty to eat, whatnot. But the implication from what I've understood from the Quran is that they would die because Satan fell beforehand. Before Adam even entered paradise, Satan already fell because he wouldn't submit because God actually ordered all the angels and all those present basically to go ahead and submit to Adam. It's a very interesting story, but basically, after Satan refused the vow, God goes ahead and kicks him out, and then he says, "Give me respite, give me some time until the day they are resurrected," And so that kind of implies that if they're going to be resurrected, they're going to go ahead and die at some point. And so that would be the day of judgment anyways.
Sure, but it depends on your faith. I mean, there's nothing at all in the Bible about Satan being told to kneel before Adam and then refusing to do so, and therefore being fallen as a result of that. That's almost entirely derived from Milton's Paradise Lost.
I think it's actually from the Talmud. I think there's actually stories on that kind of Jewish
perhaps.
There's a lot of stuff from Talmud and from some of the biblical apocrypha that correlate a lot with the Quran. If I remember correctly, I'm about 100% sure.
Sure, I've never read the Talmud either, so I can't speak as to that.
Is it the Jewish?
I think so. Or it's not the...
It's like Jewish law, but it's outside of the Torah. It's like oral kind of tradition. Mm, okay. If I remember correctly, one of the big things for correlations is that I don't know if you guys heard the story of Adam going ahead and naming all the animals or something like that.
I heard that.
Sounds vaguely familiar from, like, Bible school or something.
Yeah, like Vacation Bible School. Yeah. I don't recall anything ever actually being in the Bible about that, but that was the case with a lot of the stories they told.
Gotcha. So that is that basically is what happens in the Quran. That's the first instance of Adam popping up. And it's super interesting. If you read it, it's basically that God was like, I'm going to go ahead and create a new, you know, successor on Earth. And then the angels were like, are you going to go ahead and create something that's going to corrupt the world and kill each other while we're up here praising you? And then he's like, I know what you do not know. And then he goes ahead and creates Adam, presents him to the angels, and then the angels, and then he says, angels, tell me what these things are. And the angels aren't able to answer the questions. And then he says, Adam, answer these questions. And then Adam goes ahead and answers all of them. And then God was like, didn't I tell you that I know the unseen, the heavens and the earth? I know what you say and what you hide. And he says that to the angels, and then he says after that, submit to Adam. They all submit except for Satan. And then Satan says, and then he asks, why don't you submit? And then he says, because you made him out of clay and mold, and you made me out of fire.
And this is in the Talmud, or this is in the Quran?
That's the Quranic story, but there's a lot of parallels with the Talmud.
And that's when he gets banished, is when he won't submit to Adam, you're saying?
Yeah, out of arrogance and what I consider racism. So he's like the first racist.
Interesting. Thank you, Saeed, for the call tonight. I appreciate the lesson there, if you want to call it that. The viewpoints. The number, if you want to join us, 603-283-6160. So I mentioned earlier, Peter St. Ange mentioned these two banks, right? So First Republic has failed. It's the second largest bank failure in the U.S. history. And the question is, who's next? Well, he mentioned PacWest and Western Alliance Bank Corporation. Both stocks tumbled big time today. PacWest down 27% to $6.55. It was, as of a few months ago, it was up as high as $27, so it's a fraction of what it
was. I'm not a financial advisor. This isn't financial advice, but I would suggest that it's probably a good time to buy shares at these banks.
In my opinion, it would be a terrible idea.
I think we're still at the phase of this where the banks are going to be bailed out, where like J.P. Morgan or whatever will swoop in and they'll...
No. See, the thing you're missing here is First Republic Bank, it's gone. The shareholders who had First Republic Bank are wiped out.
They're not getting anything from the buyouts?
No.
Oh, okay.
The only people who are saved are the depositors. So the depositors had their ass saved by the federal government. But the people who bought stocks in that bank?
See, I thought when J.P. Morgan came in to do that, they also bought the shares.
Nope.
Oh, well, screw that then.
Yeah, I know. This is terrible. If you don't believe in banks, don't put any money into them, would be my suggestion. Again, I'm not a financial advisor, but if it were me, I would only put my money into things that I actually believed in. And banks, I don't know if they got much of a future.
Good, not financial advice.
See you tomorrow night. FreeTalkLive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New
American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.